Welcome to the Enneagram 2.0 podcast. My name is Urânio Páez, and today our theme will be fooling the personality. First of all, I need to say that most unfortunately today I'm not with my good friend Beatrice Chestnut, who is traveling in Egypt in a wonderful Egyptian trip that Russ Hudson does every year for 3 weeks. Bea is having an amazing time in her studies about the ancient roots of the Enneagram while traveling through Egypt. So I'm afraid that today you will need to be with me only and bear with my poor English. I'm sorry in anticipation in case I say funny things. And it's a pity I don't have my friend here, B, to correct my English, because I always like to know when I'm saying something silly and when I like to learn, actually, as a good five. So I decided to talk about a theme that I learned back when I was at a Gurdjieffian fourth way school. Gurdjieff, again, is the main pioneer of the Enneagram, the first one who brought the Enneagram to the West, more specifically to France, also other countries. He traveled a lot, but as a Russian of Armenian origin, he traveled the whole world and developed a method based on the Enneagram, but also very comprehensive when it comes to techniques of inner work. Gurdjieff was a very, very important spiritual master who taught the most amazing things. And by the way, I really recommend the books by Gurdjieff, a few, but also books written about Gurdjieff work, like from Auspensky, one of his earlier disciples. But Gurdjieff did the fourth way. Like, he had as a line of work and his school called the fourth way. And the fourth way meaning that he would work with the three centers at once, not only with one, the three centers of intelligence, and seek for all of us to develop in all three centers, head, heart, and body. So the first way is called the way of the fakir, which is the way of the body, control of the body. Then the second way, the way of the heart, like in Eastern religions, Jewish tradition, Islam, and Christianity, like devotional work and feeling all the connection to spirit. And then the head control, the mind, the control of the mind is the third way, the way of the yogi. The second way is the way of the monk. The first is the way of the fakir. And the third way, the way of the yogi, is like meditation in which I control my thoughts. I don't go along with the thoughts by having a good mastery of what goes on in my mind. So what is the fourth way? Fourth way by Gurdjieff is let's do a little bit of all three, mixing them up in a curriculum that is not predictable so that our personality doesn't adapt and gets caught in ways that are more surprising, because we need to surprise personality. And then Gurdjieff said this thing about surprising personality implies fooling personality, like playing tricks to personality and making sure that personality understands who's in charge. So I am in charge, not you, dear personality. So see, one thing here that is very central is to understand that we are not our personalities. So we separate. I talk with you, personality, and I'm going to tell you what to do. I am your boss, right? So who's the one speaking with personality? Interesting question. It's certainly a more evolved part of me, closer to essence and not as conditioned as the personality part of me is. So we are not our personalities. We are not those type descriptions that we see in most books and other podcasts. We are much more than that. And we are essence. And when we are in this better and higher self, we can talk to our lower self and discipline somehow that lower self. And disciplining the lower self means saying that I'm in charge. Personality, you are not in charge. I am. So follow me, obey me. But if we confront personality in a harsh way in the beginning of our path, personality will win the fight because it's still too strong. The personality drives are still taking all of the space and they are not willing to negotiate. So we cannot confront personality. We need to sort of befriend it. But according to Gurdjieff, it's not only befriend. We need to fool personality, which is a quite interesting concept. And I'll make sure that I explain it today. Now, later on the path, it's important to confront personality. But then it will be a moment where we will have more will and more strength to do so and to win the battle. And it's very important. Never trust a line that says that it's befriending and befriending only until the end, because that is in the beginning. In a second moment, if we don't confront, we don't go beyond a certain point. So the remedy needs to change as we go. But let's talk about a remedy for the first stage. Just very smart. It's, and Gurdjieff would say, it's the way, fourth way is the way of the smart man. It's the way of the smart person, because we use tricks. We use some interesting maneuvers to deal with our dear personality. So what is it? What is fooling personality? Here's what it is. It's like I have done a meditation retreat. I have come to a Chestnut Pies Enneagram retreat. Or I have had a very good therapy session in which I really achieved a way better understanding in an inner state that is amazing. Or perhaps I just had the luck of getting in touch with some sublime transpersonal experience. Sometimes it happens out of the blue. Gurdjieff, by the way, would call it an accident, right? For him, it's more important to know how to go back to that state and not as relevant to just be given that state out of nothing, right? But nevertheless, it's also very valid and it's okay. And we can have any episode of raising awareness and be really well about it and feel super good. But if you have experienced anything like this, then for certain, you know that it doesn't last forever, that it goes away after a certain time. Sometimes it's after a couple of hours, sometimes after a couple of months, but it goes away. Why? Well, if you listen again to our episodes on the levels of awareness, very important concept here. We are very, very happy with those episodes. Then you will remember that in the beginning of the path, all the first half of the path, the movement of growth is more like pendular. We go up and then we bounce back and go down and then we come to the middle, right? And then if we do good inner work, that middle will be a bit above the previous middle, right? But it's pendular. So when I expand my awareness, I fall down. So here's what fooling the personality is. I observe when I am falling down, given this pendular movement, and before I completely fall down, I have this talk with my personality, separating myself from it. and I say, dear personality, I am now allowing you to reestablish, to restructure. You can come back. And I am your boss. I am saying so. I am going to give you space. So you may come back to do your stuff, your things, your script, and I won't complain. And I will leave you doing that for a while. However, you need to understand that I'm being nice with you. I am the one allowing this to happen. And therefore, you will need to be very nice with me. Also, in this reciprocity, we are here negotiating. And that means that when I need to do, or when I decide to do more work like this, meditation, Enneagram, therapy, spiritual work, and I get in touch again with that state like I was in, or other kinds of states, you will not complain. And I will allow you to come back eventually. But next time, by the way, you will allow me to stay in that state for an extra couple of weeks. Yeah. So fooling personality is like dealing with the personality as a pet, as a dog, a cat, and giving personality a treat. See, I'm giving you a treat. You can restructure, you can come back. And now you will allow me to stay for longer in this state I was in and doing those crazy activities that you thought were so threatening. And just know I will allow you to come back if you behave, because I am the one in charge here, personality. So you establish a hierarchy. You put yourself above your personality, your Enneagram style, and your type tendencies, and also your type reactivity, right? Or everything personality. So the idea then is to establish that you are the one in charge and you are going to reward personality if it obeys. And I like to call personality an it, right? I think it's a good way to call personality it. And if you obey me, if you follow me, then you won't have trouble and I will be good with you. Okay, so behave. I am your owner, and here's your treat for now. But behave, do what I'm telling you. So this is a very, very important understanding of how to deal with personality. I'm positioning myself above it. I'm dealing with it as a more conditioned part of me. And I'm allowing myself to do things out of the box, to individuate, like Carl Jung used to say. Like, I'll go for the different. I'll be myself and not just follow that old pattern. What happens if we don't do inner work, self-development work, is that we'll be always doing the same all the time. We'll come back to doing that very same thing and having no creativity in changing our pattern. We will be always guided by that type tendency. But if we do self-development work and know how to negotiate with personality, this may change. So we're changing the game here. And of course, this is a general concept, but it can happen in different ways for different people and different types. So let's talk a little bit here now about how that can play out for each of the 9 types. And as always, starting with type 8 and going clockwise up to type 7. Sometimes 7s complain, but let's go this way today again. So 8s, when they are in their normal way of being, they have all the tendency to be assertive, strong, intense, to be confrontative somehow, and think of paybacks if people don't do what is fair, and trying to be in a position of control or power, and being in charge and more. type 8. We could describe so much here about each type, but I'll do something brief for this episode. And then, if you, as an 8, if you are doing good self-development work, what are you going to start experiencing? Well, you're going to experience things like softness of the heart. You're going to be naturally very gentle with people, being perceptive of what's happening and what is your impact on others. You're going to be very much in your heart, and you will be harmless because you will be very sensitive. You also make yourself vulnerable somehow, and you're going to be, above all, you're going to be more like contained, not exactly in lust, which is the passion of type 8, and being therefore more in touch with, that position of not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. And then an 8 being there is doing wonderfully, but this too shall pass. This is a Sufi saying that we don't stay there forever. And this will change, and 8s will bounce back and start getting triggered again, feel that irritability, that need to be more expanded and just react to unfairness. And then when 8s observe, and self-observation here is key, when 8s observe that that's starting to happen, what to do? Well, what to do is simple. To say personality, lust, vengeance, passion and fixation of personality. My 8 personality, come here. I am calling you. I am your boss. And I am going to allow you to come back. See how good I am? How nice I am with you? How understanding I am of you? I'm allowing you to come back. So you may go be intense again. You may even go do something about that injustice happening out there. Or you may just, answer this email in a way that's more direct. Or whatever you want to do that is more like the normal 8 personality style. I am allowing you to do that. Come back. Feel free to be yourself for a while. Don't exaggerate. Don't do much. Don't be aggressive. But you can do this and that. Okay? You'll be happy. See how I'm making you happy? Okay, so here's the deal, though. Next time, when I feel the same way, or when I have other sorts of different experiences, you are going to let me stay for a couple of weeks extra. You are going to respect that space and not reclaim your space back fiercely, because otherwise I won't give you a treat anymore. Do you understand? I am in charge and I'm super nice with you, so you'd better cooperate. So this is Gurdjieff's concept of fooling personality. And then come back and do all of that. And then I come back to middle, but a better middle than before. And best of all, I'll have a more promising future if I do inner work, because personality will not sabotage me so quickly and so intensely. Okay, next time. That's the idea. And we are playing the smart ones in this game of, this inner fight, inner war between essence and personality. And we are separating from personality when talking with it. It, remember, it's a knit. So nines, when nines are in their normal, they are like going along to get along, and they don't say no, they don't go against, and they don't prioritize themselves, they forget about themselves, they don't start stuff that will really make a difference, they become more operational in whatever's already happening, and they are nice and calm, relaxed, and going with the flow. They may do a lot, but they're really not taking the lead of their own lives, right? end of processes, and they play small, like they are not as important as other people. So all the nine stuff. And then when they grow, they get in touch with this discomfort zone. They feel more their anger and also other emotions with a heart that's no longer very numb. And then they agree to disagree. They go against and they become more powerful. They become strong. They talk about themselves and they assert their own opinions. And then all of a sudden they start doing what they had been avoiding and going for things. So all good. And then they bounce back. Then they start feeling tired again and getting comfortable in what is called the passion of sloth. And then what nines can do is, come here, sloth, come here, dear personality. It's okay, you can come back because I am allowing you to. So you can relax, you can go distract yourself, do something less important. You can also just go along with those people, forget about conflict. And you don't need to feel all those hard emotions. You may also go watch TV or just run as you like. Or you may just read a lot, which makes you feel calmer. So, okay, I'm going to allow you to reestablish. I'm going to allow you to come back. And please remember, though, that I am the one allowing this to happen. I am your boss. I am in charge. So next time, when I feel all of those things again, you will allow me to stay there for longer. Okay? So go ahead, do your thing, and we'll talk later. So for ones, in a normal situation, ones are in that mode of being critical, and even more than that, being self-critical, being tense and a little bit like behaved in ways that they don't allow for pleasure and for much emotional expression, and they just go with the duty, right? The duty before pleasure and leisure. And they also become rigid in their way of thinking. There is only one right way, only one. And they don't allow for flexibility. It's black or white, actually, for all body types, eights, nines, and ones, but maybe it's a bit more visible for ones. And then they do good self-development work. What happens? They become serene, accepting, and self-accepting, non-judgmental, relaxed, and happy, like even joyful, flexible, having fun, humorous, and also more in their hearts with talking about bigger things like purpose and mission, and also with self-expression, but above all, being very, very calm. And then they start losing that state and they notice that they start being irritated in the inside. And it's all coming back, the body is starting to contract again. So I observe that happening. We need to develop the capacity of observing when personality is already starting to come back. It can't be when it has come back already. It doesn't work. The technique of fooling personality wouldn't work then. So the idea then is, okay, so I'm starting to be tense and irritable. So personality, one personality, come here, my dear. Now I will allow you to be one-ish. I will allow you to be more rigid and perfection. And there is so much you need to do, all that duty. I will allow you to do that. And next time, don't forget, I am going to spend more time hanging out in relaxation and maybe even some free time and even breaking some rules. So you need to allow me to do that, but now you can go follow rules and be serious and be all dutiful. Okay, good. Good for you. Go. I'll call you back in my time. So for choose, the similar thing would be, in normal situations, choose would be like, well, I'm nice, I'm happy, I'm, you know, cute or I'll seduce you, you like me, I'll do things that you like, and I will really make sure that I adapt to you, and I'll do things for you, and then you will value me. And you will know how much I can dedicate of myself to you. And also, I will be very relational. Relationship is everything there is. So all that type 2 script. And of course, there are the 3 subtypes that change a little bit, some of the patterns. But this is the more basic thing that choose do in a more basic description that we are doing here today. But then choose do inner work. Guess what happens? They don't need to be nice all the time. They get more serious, also more boundaried, and they get in touch more with their own feelings, not only other people's feelings. And they get in touch with their own pain and suffering. And they see that they need something. They actually can't help someone else at this point. And they have their own needs. And also enough with this manipulation game in which I do things for you unconsciously, waiting for something back for me. The giving to get thing that is many times unconscious for choose, but very real, right? So choose at this point, they get more calm and independent and less of that codependency in which I make you depend on me and I keep dependent on your dependence on me. So that goes away and more like I allow things to flow as they are. I'm not trying to be the special one for you all the time, right? So when the personality starts to reestablish, choose can look at it and say, personality, I'll allow you to be very nice again, go there to that special other person that you dedicate yourself so much to, go do your thing, and go do things that you know will make you be liked by that person or those people. And also, don't pay as much attention now to your own pain or your own needs. It's okay, just look at others. Because I'm saying you can do it. And then sometime later, I'll call you and say, now it's time for me to do those same things again and some new things, and you will behave. Because then I'll give you a treat also. It will take a little longer, but I'll give you a treat. Type 3. Threes in the basic state, they're doing, can't stop. They feel like dying if they stop. And deadlines and goals all the time, and also image. I need to adapt to this person, to that group, and I'll be chameleon-like, and I'll keep adapting, among other things that threes do, right? And then when they grow and they get to a higher state of awareness, they become themselves, and they stop adapting. No chameleon. And they stay more stable. Stable in what? Stable in feeling, in being, in just allowing themselves to have the experience that's happening instead of doing, right? In normal personality mode, threes become the human doers. And in a more evolved side, they come back to human being state. And then also they get super open in their hearts and they slow down finally. And they look at other people with more patience and also at themselves with more care. Like, I won't extend my capacities that much as before. and very soft, very loving, a lot of heart energy. And then they lose it. They start losing it and they start looking at ways to be more valued and praised, or at least be more successful in different ways. And when that starts to happen, it's time to call personality and say, okay, do your thing. Go do again. And it's fine. I allow you to do that. And also, you know, be this way with those people and that other way with those people. Totally fine. I am allowing you to do that. This is your treat. Okay? So you'll be very happy with me. And you'll pay me back when I call you by allowing me to have more of that different kind of experience later on. Okay? It will be on my time, according to my interest, my agenda, because I am your boss. Very well. So force in their normal situation, they are more oscillating emotionally. They are somewhat dramatic, some force more than others. They are also somehow very interested in exploring what's missing and not as much what's present, more what's absent. So they go back to the past with nostalgia and lack and missing something, longing for something, but also idealizing the future and all I think it could be, but not being very happy with the present, right? And then they compare themselves and they end up in the bottom of the comparison or sometimes above, almost always feeling different. So the four script. And then when they have an awareness expansion, they will be able to feel equal to everybody. They will be equanimous. Equanimity being the virtue of type 4, meaning that it's what opens up at a certain point if I do inner work in my higher emotional center. We had talks about centers in other episodes. So 4s become like that, and they become more like stable emotionally and more neutral, not as emotional as before, and feeling absolutely great. They are super joyful at that moment. Instead of trying to find an identity and some pleasure in feeling a lot, they relax, they are more neutral in their hearts, and they feel joy, pure joy. And they're present with what there is, not anymore going to the past or the future, and not comparing. So, all good. But the state doesn't stay forever. And when they start bouncing back, then they can say, dear personality, it's okay, compare yourself, dramatize a little bit, drama, and also be emotional and look at what you're missing. Totally fine. Let me come back to that though later on, because it's something I will do. I'm just informing you. And you just follow me because I'll give you a treat again if you are good with me. For a 5 like me, it's simple. It's like in normal situations, we go for privacy, we go for saving energy and trying to avoid demands and going for information, knowledge, and also contracting against too much contact. Out of fear that we won't get enough, or out of fear that people will get too much from us, right? And then 5s will do something else, which is they will explore only the territory of the mind and not the heart, not the body. Like the body is just a support for this important thing called the head, right? This is 5 personality in some very basic things. Now, when growing, 5s become more their bodies, their hearts, not only their heads. They start flowing with what's happening. Flow is something that many people talk about right now. And to an extent, this is what all 9 types get in touch with when they are in a very good place with an expanded awareness. But I think it's even more important or central for fives, because it's more like, oh, just relax and flow with what's happening around me without controlling my agenda, without controlling my time, my space, my energy. And I'll flow as in, you know, just being one with life force. So I won't save, I won't make sure that I have time for myself, I'll just flow. And fives at this point also open their hearts without hoarding things inside, without having expectations, and without controlling. And they start just being in that wave that's typical of good relationships and good relationship with life and with self. Right. So they are in that, and then it will come back to needing to save time, to privacy, to containing oneself and more. And then the idea is, okay, personality, I allow you to do that. And then I'll get back to my new flow of life later on. If you behave, I will give you a treat again. Now, your treat will be, go be alone, go explore more knowledge or information. You don't need to flow. You can just rest and you can be more mental. Think about everything. Overthink even. For sixes, the normal situation or position is, let's do this analysis of all risks possible. Let's see all possible scenarios, but only that sixes don't do the optimistic, medium, and pessimistic scenarios. They do the bad one, the truly pessimistic one, and the catastrophic one, right? So it's like they will do all that scanning of the environment to see all potential hazards and problems, and then they will find problems and be the problem solvers. But then also become problem seekers, right? And then it will be hard because they will get anxious and fearful, but it would be even more anxious not to think of problems. Oh, so all the six stuff. And then they do inner work and they get in touch with the body, get in touch with the heart, and not only the head. And they push away all those worst case scenarios. And they feel grounded, they feel strong and relaxed. Relaxed, yes. Such an important thing for sixes, relaxation. And then they decide that they can go ahead without having certainty. Let me stop procrastinating and just do. Let me push myself to action so that I stop just playing safe. And this way, I will allow myself to just also flow with life and with what's happening at the moment without much anticipation. And I feel great by doing that. However, I can't stay there forever. And I start feeling triggered again and anxious, fearful. And I start coming back to my head and think, and overthink. At that point, before I get to bed, I say, okay, six personality, I know you well, and I welcome you back. You can go think of problems, do problem solving, and, you know, it's better if you don't trust that person or even yourself that easily. Okay, so do all your things. And also you can remember to be contrarian. Like if people are too optimistic, you need to show the other side. If people are too pessimistic, you also show the other side of being more optimistic. So you be the contrarian. It's all fine. Come back. You are okay. I accept you. Come back. And I will do more meditation, more Enneagram work. Above all, I'll be more in my body and my heart. And I will push the head content away a bit more and not be just heady. And I won't overthink in the future. So I'm telling you, you do your thing now, but then I'll do that again. But if you allow me to, I'll give you another treat. I'll let you, you know, lose trust and be anxious again and go to problem-solving mode again. But it's time for you, then there is time for me. And finally, sevens. Sevens will talk to their personalities this way. First, they are all flexible, doing all sorts of things all at once, a little bit of everything, which is gluttony, the passion for type seven. And they will be mostly happy and positive and avoid hard conversations and feeling difficult stuff and be very lively, entertaining of self and others, and then creative, having all sorts of ideas. And then doing good self-development work, they will get more sober, as in being grounded and doing one thing at a time and going to the end without opening doors and windows. And they will also make sure that they are serious, that they are not just having fun all the time. They are not going for desires. They postpone rewards. And they will be more at the moment, at the present moment, and not just fantasizing about the future. They will also be more dedicated to the heart and to the instinct, the gut, not only to the head. And as seekers on the path, they will also do things that are good for them, even though personality doesn't like them. Like, for instance, meditate, to just have discipline and more. And they will look outside to other people with more empathy and more. So when sevens are doing this great, they will be elevated, but then they will miss the state, lose the state, as it happens with all of us. And all of a sudden, they will be again in gluttony, in multiple choices, a little bit of everything, and then having fun, avoiding displeasure, dissatisfaction, and also avoiding pain and suffering. When they are starting to bounce back and get there, they have a talk with personality again. Dear personality, I'll allow you to be just positive and have fun. I'll allow you to go for different things at a time and to open up new ideas and do brainstorm after brainstorm, by the way. So I'll allow you to do all these things that you like. But you will remember that I will come back to doing these other things that are now of my interest, of being more at the moment, in the present moment, and being more sober. And you will not complain. And I'll do that for a little longer. And if you behave, I will reward you again, allowing you to come back for a while to your natural mode. So I think you get the picture of this very interesting technique called fooling personality. I think it's also a good way to understand how to do inner work in general. Like, we shouldn't confront personality too soon. But it's also not just understanding and accepting it. I feel a little bit irritated when I see people saying it's all about self-acceptance. I don't think so. I think personality isn't that good for me to fully accept it. I need to accept that it exists, yes. But it's not about accepting all that it brings me. So instead, why not doing what Gurdjieff taught and fooling personality in these ways? And that's also a recognition that personality is a lower self, and I can deal with it in this more manipulative way. Yeah, I will manipulate personality. That's a little bit of what the way of the smart man is. One of the ways. Gurdjieff is really an intriguing, quite interesting figure that was seminal for the Enneagram, but also for good level inner work that breaks away from certain paradigms of how to do all of this, these things that we've been talking about at our podcast. But that was it for today. I want to thank you all very, very much for listening and following us on Enneagram 2.0. In the description of this episode, you have your website and links to see so much more that we offer in our courses. And also, why not considering signing up for CP Online, which is our platform of content. We go so much beyond what we do here in the podcast at CP Online. You can become a member with a very reasonable annual fee, and you get hundreds and hundreds of hours of videos with B. Chestnut and I, and including monthly live webinars. And if you can't see them live, you can see them later. They go all to the website. So it's an ever-growing platform of content. We would be very happy to have you as one of our members at CP Online. So that's it for today. Thanks so much for listening, for following us, and stay tuned at Enneagram 2.0, our podcast where we talk about all things Enneagram. Bye-bye.